Friday, 22 April 14, broadcast of the Calvary Hour. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Sure glad you're tuned into the Calvary Hour. I'm Bill Wingard, your host speaker. If you have been with us, especially in the last broadcast, you know that we're in 1 Peter chapter 4 and looking at the conditions for suffering and how God would prepare us for that, and then how he gives us a superlative that we should place above all these other matters. And I'll tell you, my heart's been blessed. I was sitting here getting ready to preach this message and thinking, I don't know when my heart has been blessed as much as it is now in this series of messages as we look at what God puts in first place. You know, we're going to see when we get over to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 that with all the spiritual gifts that were given to the people of God, there was something that was greater. And we find out about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And that, of course, is the love of God. And then we find that God's love is the identifying mark of him for his people for God, his people for each other. And again, we're not speaking about some type of sensual lust or some type of lasciviousness or that type of thing, dear friend. We're speaking about agape love. We're speaking about the love that comes from God. And remembering this, that we love him because he first loved us. The most well-known verse of Scripture in all the Word of God is John 3:16, speaking about the love of God. Solomon, the wisest of men, wrote in Proverbs 10 and verse 12, "Hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins." In John chapter 13, verses 31 through 35, we find out that love is an identifying mark of the child of God. Verse 34, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another." And then verse 35, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." In Romans chapter 12 and verses 9 and 10, we are told that we should be kindly affectioned one to another. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 18, we are exhorted not to love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And that has brought us to these two chapters now that are dedicated to God, his love, his people, and the love that we should have for him and for each other. So that has brought us now to 1 John chapter 4. And on the last broadcast, we were looking at verse 7, 1 John 4 and verse 7, verses 7 and 8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. Verse 9, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him." Now, all the rest of this chapter is dedicated to God and to his love. And I was reading you some statements that I had copied. The first was by Mr. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, and I thought it's just classic. He said, concerning verses 7 and 8, "Love is the divine law of life. Selfishness is sin. When grace restores us to our proper relationship with God and his creation, love is the very instinct of our renewed nature." We read a number of things that Mr. Barnes said. Among them, all true love has its origin in God. Real love shows that we have his spirit and that we belong to him. Man, that's powerful, is it not? Number 3, the love of God, it assimilates us to God and makes us more and more like him. What is here said by the apostle is based on the truth of what he elsewhere affirms, that God is love. Hatred, envy, wrath, malice, all have their source in something else than God. He neither originates them, commends them, nor approves them. And dear friend, I'm not trying to be a judge, I'm just a fruit inspector. But I have seen people who profess to know Christ, and they were just as hateful as they could be. Unkind, unthoughtful, unloving. Now, dear friend, there's something wrong here, because God has made it clear that when we come to know him as our Savior, our attitude is going to be changed. Now, our personality doesn't necessarily change. I mean, if a person's introvert, he's probably going to still be an introvert. But that introvert will be introverted for Christ. If we're an extrovert, we'll be an extrovert for Christ. But one thing does change is our heart's desire, and the very thing that's coming from our heart, for love will cover the multitude of sins. And God puts love in our heart for those who formerly we didn't love at all. Look at the Apostle Paul. Look at Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus, and he's there to persecute the church. God saves him, turns him around, and then who has more love for the brethren than the Apostle Paul, the man who said he became all things to all men, that by all means he might win some. Well, let's get back to Mr. Barnes here, or we won't get to finish it today. Mr. Barnes goes on to say, "And everyone that loveth is born of God, is a regenerated man. That is, everyone who has true love to Christians as such, or true brotherly love, is a true Christian." Now listen carefully to this next statement. "This cannot mean that everyone that loves his wife and his children, his classmate, his partner in business, or his friend, his house, or his farms, or his horses, or his hounds, is a child of God. It must be understood as referring to the point under discussion. That is, and I'm interjecting this, that a person has got to be saved, the love that comes from God." Now let me get back to Mr. Barnes. "A man may have a great deal of natural affection toward his kindred, a great deal of benevolence in his character towards the poor and needy, and still he may have none of the love to which John refers. He may have no real love to God, to the Savior, or to the children of God as such, and it would be absurd for such a one to argue because he loves his wife and children that therefore he loves God or is born again." So you see, that is tremendous. Mr. Barnes has hit a real note here, because there are people who are unbelievers and they say, "Well, I believe God is love and I love, therefore I'm of God." No, dear friend, you can have kindly affection to people, it could be friend, family, or enemy, and still not be saved. But if you're saved, then the love of God enters into your heart, enters into my heart, and by that shall all men know that we are his disciples, because we have love one to another. Isn't it interesting that when God saves us, he gives us a love for things and people that prior to our getting saved, we didn't have any real love or concern for? I know that before God saved me, I was in a liberal church. I was lost. I did not understand really what the love of God was all about. I had this kind of mushy sentimentalism, thinking that the ecumenical movement was a good thing and what have you. But I was confusing human affection and so forth for the love of God. No, dear friend, the love that's being spoken about here is that comes from God. We love him because he first loved us. "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." Verse 9, "And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him." Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. We'll go back and we'll spend more time on this. I hope this scripture is doing for you what it's doing for me. God is blessing my heart with this. I'll tell you, it's good to be around good, godly people who have a love for God. They have a love for the truth. They have a love for the church. They have a love for their country. They have a love for their brethren. That's my crowd. I'll guarantee you that's my crowd. And if you're one of them, then thank be to God, you're my brother or sister in Christ. And I want you to know that I love you. I mean that. Concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, "Whom having not seen, we love and rejoice with joy unspeakable." And I'm glad that there are folks out in Radio Land right here today that are listening. You love God. And I'll tell you, I want you to know I love you. Having not seen, we can still love one another because we are identified by our love for God and our love for the truth. This broadcast is targeted for the end of our broadcast week. I hope you're making plans for all possible to be in a good fundamental Bible-believing church. If you cannot, Please join us on the internet, www.calbapt.org, www.calbapt.org. Please join us next broadcast if you can.